Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Art has always been intertwined with the making of books since the very first day of monks transcribing sacred text. But with 20th century mechanization, the idea of a handmade book, with a hand-printed book, often with original art, illustration, and fonts, became an important collectible object. Although the emphasis has always remained on enhancing the text. But over the past 50 years or so, printmakers and book art artists have utterly transformed the notion of a book. University of Tulsa art professor and printmaker Michelle Martin has curated a new exhibit at the Zero Center in the Brady Arts District, which gives viewers a glimpse into the highly imaginative world of book arts. The exhibit, The Art of the Book, brings together over 20 contemporary artists and printmakers who will stretch your definition of what constitutes a book. Martin joins me today on Studio Tulsa, along with local mixed media and book arts artist Melissa Burkhart, who has 6 pieces in the show. Some are altered books, others created books. Burkhart has exhibited in both groups and solo exhibitions, most recently Above, Below, and What Lies Between, Vision Makers at 108 Contemporary. And she was the artist chosen to represent Oklahoma for an Art in Hand United States of America project, which was a deck of playing cards, each hand produced. She designed the Two of Hearts. She joins me along with Michelle Martin to talk about The Art of the Book, which is on display at the Zero Center in the Brady Arts District through June 28th. Melissa and Michelle, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
How did this exhibit come about, Michelle? The Art of the Book. What was the impetus for doing this exhibition?
Well, right after I started teaching printmaking here, I took on an active role going to the printmaking conferences through Southern Graphics Council. And I started noticing that a lot of my fellow printmakers also made artist books. Now, where I was from, you know, a book was just your simple, hard, rectangular object where, you know, information is disseminated through that, or it has lovely pictures in it. And that was it. And that world that I saw that it was opened up to me through seeing artist-made books was just amazing. People printed their own. Sometimes it was known stories. Sometimes they worked with a poet or a writer and then did the illustrations. The idea that you could sew your own book together or create a sculptural book, it was just something I had never seen before. And when I started teaching here, I found out that Special Collections had several examples of artist books. And so
you actually had a practitioner of artist books.
Yes. She had taken some classes with me, and it was really amazing to see just how people went about approaching the book form. And like I said, that was not something I had been exposed to till I had been in my field for a while.
Now, Melissa, you have about 6 pieces in this exhibit. Mm-hmm. How did you get started doing book arts?
Well, I started out as a painter and a drawer and printmaker. And when I started working at TU, one of my first jobs was to learn how to make protective enclosures for rare books and delicate, fragile items. And one day it just clicked with me that I loved making those clamshell boxes, but I also loved all those other mediums. And how could I combine all the things I loved as an artist with this box making? And one thing led to another, and now I build constructions that combine all these different forms. And sometimes they're very book-like and sometimes not, but my work was a real influence in this direction, going in this direction.
And I assume when you wanted to do this exhibit, you had this
wonderful resource, yeah, you know, right, that I knew over there. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up is that some of the books that we have in the exhibition are started from the ground up from scratch. You know, the person made the accordions, printed their own images, printed the text, and then sewn everything together.
Sometimes they even make the paper.
Sometimes they do. And then in other cases, you have what's called an altered book. Okay, and so this is an existing book that's been chosen sometimes for very specific reasons. Sometimes it's really just a utilitarian concern about size or shape or form. And then the person will make a sculpture out of that, or a piece of artwork out of that existing book. And that's some of what Melissa has done.
Yeah, Melissa, I know at least from the exhibit, it gives you a sense that altered books is perhaps your primary form. Now, I don't know if that's really true, but there are examples of both types of books,
right,
that you have in the exhibit.
It's one angle that I started heading towards. It's not my main focus, but
now, if I were head of Special Collections, I'm not sure I'd want you around these rare books for what you do to them.
I repurpose books that are going to be thrown away.
Yeah, exactly.
And none of them are from Special Collections because we don't throw our stuff away. But, you know, things down from old books that are just going to get tossed, and I'll like a shape, or sometimes I like the abstract subject matter, which I'll incorporate, but Mostly it's the shape of the book.
And sometimes the title, too, because I think there is one piece that incorporates the title of the book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think what you do in within the altered book has anything to do with the title, or maybe it does.
It didn't. I just liked the title, and I left it on the book.
Yeah. An altered book, for those who don't familiar, it's like you have this old book. Think of a book you would see at a rummage sale with no dust cover, maybe a nicer binding, or maybe not even that. And basically, you turn that book into a piece of art. Maybe it's leaving the cover alone, and then within the pages, you create a little artwork within it. Sometimes it's actually drawing on the pages or doing prints out of some of the pages.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a sense of the process.
Well, for me, I sometimes already have an image in my head, and it seems like a book is going to help me produce that image, rather than me constructing a whole box. So, like I said, the shape of the book, or sometimes the images in the book, that's where I start. And sometimes I mess up. So I have a particular idea, and I cut it wrong. And the thing is that the whole piece was dependent on the shape and size of the book. So either I have to throw it all out or change the way I'm working. And so I've found that the altered book has really given me a lot of freedom, where it's less structured for me, and so I kind of have to play it by ear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of nice, because as a printmaker, you have to be a lot more methodical in a lot of ways, because there's an actual either chemical or physical process, and you have to follow certain steps. But with an altered book, sometimes it tells you where you're going to go.
You know, I found your work really compelling. The way I viewed the exhibit, I kept coming back to your work.
Oh, thank you.
You know, just from other things in the gallery. And the first piece I saw was Waiting for the Others, and it's a bird nest inside of a book. It's like, I think the cover is intact,
mm-hmm.
and you open the book, and you've basically cut out a square within the pages, and then within that put a bird nest in
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was real. I said, oh, that's a really nice piece. And then as I went on, I kept seeing more intricate pieces, things like The Road to Oblivion, which has, as you've made a window into the cover, and there looks like there's a lithograph
mm-hmm.
On the what would be the empty title page. Or maybe
it's
inserted.
Yeah, inserted into a kind of window in the text itself. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's the windows, and there's these series of twigs that you've put an interior window that matches with the cover, and then this lithograph with tree stumps. And I'm assuming there's a story there. What's the story behind that particular?
Well, it's a lot of my work is very environmental related, and it's about mostly the cutting down of trees and indiscriminate cutting of trees. So it was this piece became a kind of an altar or an apology,
an altar piece.
A warning,
yeah.
maybe?
A warning, yeah. The lithograph started. Uh-huh. The lithograph was first, and it was more of a warning. And then over the years, I transformed it into this sort of altar piece.
Yeah, and from there, I saw the piece after the rapture, We Found Our Dream House at Last, which is really a cool...
That was just fun.
Yeah, and you basically created a printed version of an ant colony
right.
into this book, which is just really whimsical.
Well, it struck me as funny. You know, I was like, after the rapture, all the humans will be gone,
right.
and everything non-human will finally have a place to live because we'll be out of here. But then I realized that not all of us will be going up in the rapture, so I kind of lost a little bit of the humor. But basically, the idea is that, you know, we've kind of taken over the world, and these ants are going to take over one of our houses and just live the way they wanted to, finally.
Yeah. And then the other piece of the altar books, I think, is Coming Into Being, which is an altar book which has like this Eve-like figure in a nest.
Mm-hmm.
So this nest is sort of is that a common image you will use?
No, I think that was a coincidence. But like I said, that was a very free-flowing altar book. I really didn't know where I was going with that. And I had the drawing of that Eve-like figure first, and she was from another piece, and I didn't use her. And then later on, I added the wings,
mm-hmm.
and then it just sort of evolved. And then I had this fake fur, and I just thought, oh, what the heck? Let's just cover this book in fake fur, and then I painted it green. I mean, you just see where it just sort of takes itself along. And
So it sounds like this is a very much a sort of spur of the moment process as you're creating
it. It is, which is not characteristic for me.
And it's probably not characteristic from some of the other things I saw in the exhibit too, because I mean, there's a lot of these things are just really almost conceptual in their thought process, but they're actually putting it into practice.
Well, and I'll say, you know, for most printmakers, I mean, it is a fairly regimented process. You know, you do have a fair amount of planning involved, but also, you know, sometimes things go wrong. It's like Melissa was saying, you can plan, and sometimes the process just sort of takes over, and you have to respond to those things as they happen.
And sometimes the accidents become better than the thought-out process.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So you have to respond and do what the piece needs, and sometimes maybe that means taking it in a direction you hadn't originally thought of in the first place, but you know, and the end result is usually something that's pretty exciting. So
now, I know you planned the art of the book as sort of an introductory exhibit into book arts, but there are some things that are going to really stretch people's idea of what a book is. And I'm thinking particularly of, I believe it's Tamar Stone's piece. It's called The Rational Corset Body.
I love that one. That's one of my favorites. All of the text in that is actually, it's all hand embroidered and sewn, and it's all from corset advertisements.
Yes, it's copy from corset advertising. You know, it's unfortunate. You know, a lot of these pieces, you want to look into them, and of course you can't touch them, but I did happen to like move my head over to the side, and it's like, because this is a three-dimensional object on the wall, if you move over to an extreme angle, you can actually read some of this copy that's sewn on the inside of these corsets.
Oh, yes. It's about turning yourself into the graceful woman that you really are inside, and mm-hmm. you can do it with the help of a corset.
And this is a corset, but it is a book.
It is, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you can open the folds of the garment, and the story unfolds as you open. And then there's a doll's dress in the very, very center. The interesting thing is that, but what is your notion of a page?
Right.
Right. You know, and how that information is given to you. Again, you know, the show was a really nice way to introduce people to think about what a book really is and then challenge their notion of these preconceived notions that they may have had as to what an artist's book would be. I mean, I think most people, when they hear that term, they think, oh, an artist made a book of their, you know, their images and, you know, maybe printed some text. That's nice. But in reality, I mean, it's really challenging the concept of the book itself and going beyond that and expanding that form.
Yeah, and there's some really interesting conceptual ideas that are a part of a lot of these pieces. I'm thinking of the Rorschach's Animals.
That's a lot of fun.
Which it's a fun little piece, but, you know, it's the whole thing is, you know, when you take a Rorschach test, you're supposed to come up with animals. And so what he's done is combined the cover of a Animal Crackers box and made that the book cover. And in the inside, there are these Rorschach images, which is a really interesting idea.
The funny thing is, too, when you fold that book up and when it's stored, it's actually, it
looks like
repurposes itself back into an Animal Crackers box size. Yeah. So at first glance, you don't even realize what you're looking at.
Yeah. My guests today are Michelle Martin, a printmaker, professor of art at the University of Tulsa, and curator of The Art of the Book. Melissa Burkhart is an artist. She has six pieces in the show. She works in book arts and also works at Special Collections at the University of Tulsa, so she's surrounded by rare books all the time. And she has these wonderful altered books, although there are other pieces in the show that sort of show a different side of your bookmaking. And one of those is a label maker, which is really cool because it is a spool like you would expect to see on a label. The old-fashioned label makers where, you know, you go, R, A, and you've made this spool of, my notes say it was, you offer equal opportunity slurs for everybody.
Yes. And my list was much, much longer than I cared to make into that tape. So
yeah,
we have plenty of, you know, plenty of choices.
Obviously a very political statement about, you know, how we label people. And it's a really smart idea too.
Thank you.
And there are really moving books too. I was thinking of, I believe it's Jacques Fournier.
Yeah, that one's really, really, really tragic.
And
actually,
I actually had to look up what happened. The name of the book is Le 6 Avril 1944, which it's a box photo of this school or nursery, I believe. It's really hard to see because this is under glass because everybody wants to touch these things. Yeah. You have to put them away. But the names are embossed on the bottom. And I, as I found out on the 6th of April, the Nazis came to this Jewish nursery in France and basically hauled everybody
out. Hauled everybody away to Auschwitz. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the names of the children, the book itself is actually formed when you look at the walls of the object itself. You know, it almost mm-hmm. resembles those dioramas you make as a kid, right? You know, you get the old shoebox and you put your scene in there and make a little diorama. Well, with this one, the image is sent back, and then the text actually is stamped, embossed into shiny Mylar that goes all the way around the interior of the box, and it has their names and their ages embossed into it. And if you look on the back cover, I actually sat that where you could see the image on one side. If you walk around, it's the cover of the box, but uh-huh. then the text is inside, and it mm-hmm. actually explains briefly the incident that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's really, really a powerful image, and I guess you can do that with these book projects.
Absolutely, because then again, you know, the information is given to you, but what form that information is given to you can change. Benjamin Reinhardt did one called Revolving Gender that's also in the exhibition, and it almost resembles those toys that you could reconfigure into different shapes. But really, it's about what is our notion of gender and who decides whether you're a boy or girl or how you identify yourself, and so that's what that whole piece identifies with.
Yeah. A couple of artists sort of do a meditation on notions of women's beauty. Mm-hmm. Alicia Bailey and Marsha Weisbrot, they've created these really imaginative books. One is like a makeup compact, and the other is a lipstick box. And they've made books out of them.
Right. And so with the Alicia Bailey's piece, which is lipsticks, and so mm-hmm. it's an actual lipstick case that has an actual lipstick cartridge in it. And when you turn the lipstick, like you would have the lipstick to come up to put it on, the book actually flowers, the text actually flowers out of the lipstick case. It's really, really inventive. And then I know on the Weisbrot piece, the looking at makeup, which is like this little compact, she even handmade a little pouch that it goes into. And when you unfold it, the text and the images actually unfold, and it's about the discovery of makeup and how we change ourselves and the notion of beauty. It's really pretty inventive and pretty wonderful, actually.
The thing that strikes, I think, a lot of viewers when they come and see this exhibit at the Zero Center is how small some of these books are.
Oh, they're tiny.
There's some of these books that are probably, you know, I mean, 2x3 or 2x2 or something like that.
I know Time is Money is very small. That's the piece that has Time is Money, which I believe is the quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
And when the dowel rods actually individually turn, so when you open the little box, the little pages turn on the dowel rods, and then when you look inside and you realize that there is a folded up dollar bill inside this box, but when it folds up, it's maybe 1.5 by 2 inches.
Right.
You know, it's very, very small.
The dollar bill is just tiny, tiny, tiny. And some are people doing prints of this size.
Yes.
What is that like? You know, you're a printmaker. I mean, to do a print that's maybe 2x2 inches or 1x2 or...
And I'm thinking of a nice way to answer this because basically to be a printmaker in general, you know, we're very regimented people. We like our process. We like making impressions of things. And the nice thing about being a printmaker is that the tradition is that it's the democratic art form. And what I mean by that is that an average person could never afford a Renoir painting, for example. But you might get lucky and find a Renoir etching at an estate sale. Or you might be able to save your money and buy a print by a famous painter that you love. And so it's more egalitarian. Mm-hmm. So the combination of the way that printmakers work with books is a nice relationship. But the size then becomes into play. You know, when you're talking about making things that small, there is a level of obsessiveness that goes along with being a printmaker, and that's probably putting it very mildly. But that attention to detail, and it's almost this challenge to make something that can communicate that is that small. And others will make larger images and then chop them down. And then others in the exhibition have worked purposely much smaller than they normally would, but it's working with in tandem with another writer or a poet.
Yeah, there's a couple examples of that.
Karen Kunk, the Offering Time book, it's like songs by somebody with the last name of Tagore. And mm-hmm. and then Karen did the images. And so all of the type was hand-set and hand-printed. But then, you know, she usually works a little bit larger than that. Most of her prints, you know, a small print for her, and these are wood blocks, a small print for her might be, you know, 16 by 20 is a small print for her. And this is actually a different form, and it is the images is much more closed in than what she would normally use. But I think that's also part of the challenge. You know, when you work with someone like that, and again, because so much planning goes involved, but then the process is still organic to a degree. And so people are responding to the medium and to the text or the person that they're working with. But there is a challenge in making something outside of the bounds you would normally make or approach it in that way.
And there's
way.
Also a challenge in showing and exhibiting this material because
yes.
really because the curatorial choices are really difficult because so many of these pieces are a book And like a book, it unfolds, and as you turn pages, you discover the story, you discover the plot twists. And in some of these pieces, it's the same way. I'm thinking of a piece, it has to do with a compass. You Are Here.
Oh, Julie Chen's book.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is really cool. It's a fold-out book that eventually, as you unfold it, first of all these wonderful admonitions like, contemplate which roads might seem impossible or merely improbable, and all these little terms along the edges that she's printed mm-hmm. out that, you know, just sort of are inspiring or, you know, have something to do with a path and a road. And eventually as you unfold this book, which is the natural tendency, you want to do this, and of course you can't do it because it's under glass for one thing, but eventually it looks like it becomes a compass.
It becomes a map.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and even when you are unfolding, it's like secret little ways of turning the pages, and it unfolds in unexpected ways, much like one's journey through an unexpected adventure or place or even your life. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you sometimes discover things unexpectedly. And the way that that book is, when I first pulled it out, you know, at first I thought it was going to unfold like an accordion, which is what I'm used to. And really, she had these pages unfold and cut to where they unfold in really different ways, and it was very unexpected.
It's like the thing when you were a kid, you had the little...
Fortune tellers.
Yeah. Fortune tellers, yes, where you lift up the flaps. It's a lot like that.
It's a lot like that. Yeah. And it's not what you would consider like a intuitive form, necessarily. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's a square, but the way that that then unfolds to reveal itself is unexpected.
One of the real challenges of exhibiting artists' books is, first of all, they're meant to be held. They're meant to be touched. And unfortunately, you can't allow that when, you know, hundreds or a thousand people are going to come look at the books. But you lose a lot of the message. Things are meant to be unfolded. You need to read. If there's text, you may need to read the entire text to get the full measure of the book. So in a way, it's kind of sad when you have to exhibit an artist's book because it's lost a lot of its message.
And not
being able to touch it.
And when you're creating a piece, not necessarily the altered books, but when you're creating a book, you know, the spool is meant to
it's
be.
It's
meant
intention,
to be. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Definitely to go all the way out and see everything.
My intention, and in fact, my artwork, I had a solo show a couple of years ago, and I just provided people cotton gloves, and I allowed people to touch. Because when I'm making a piece, I'm really expecting it's going to be touched. So.
Talk about a couple of the others. You mentioned the accordion form, and there's a lot of accordion form pieces in this. And assume it's, you know, you just create this paper shape, and you're putting prints along the whole. For many of them, they're doing prints along the whole form of the accordion into like a page-like structure.
They are, and part of the challenge is, you know, most people don't have presses big enough to, I think when most people look at it, they assume that it's just one huge long sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And most people don't have a press that large or plates or, you know, so you have to work with what you have. And so a lot of them will print to where it's a folio that can be then folded up, and then they'll construct it to where they do have seams. Mm-hmm. If you look closely on some of them, you can actually see the seams. So there's this challenge of how do I plan my color? How do I plan this to where it's going to join together the way I think it should? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these were printed in sections, which, again, with all the planning in the world, you know, there's still little surprises that can crop up from time to time. So I know that most of them with woodcuts, you know, each color is printed separately. So you'll carve a block and then print your lightest color, and then you'll go back in and keep doing that until the block is destroyed, basically. Sometimes they'll have multiple blocks. Karen Kunk, for example, will have two different blocks. One is a positive and one is a negative image, and she usually prints warm colors on one and cool colors on another. So, again, there's a lot of printing involved. And a lot of planning. I know that John Goebel, who did the one book that's like the etching, the colored etching folded out, he plans his etchings far, far in advance, and then the color in them is incredible.
And there's some, like, I'm thinking of Incarnation, which is a...
that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, Lois Morrison, and it's basically, she's written a story, too. I saw this runover snake along the side of the road, and then she tells the whole story of, you know, how the serpent has always played a role in literature and, you know,
history
and history and faith. And meanwhile, she has this image of the snake going through these, I think it's an accordion book.
It's an accordion book, and it also has pop-up features so that, you know, when you fold it, when it's all in its normal collapsed form, you know, it looks like a small book that's maybe 3 inches tall and about 8 inches wide, okay? Mm-hmm. But then you unfold it, and it almost unfolds in the snake-like fashion, even though it's an accordion. So when we displayed it, we wanted to make sure that it had this sinuous quality that captured what she was doing in the book. And the interesting thing about that one is all of the text and everything that's in the book is all hand-drawn and hand-lettered. Mm-hmm. She didn't do much printing on that one. That was all hand-drawn.
I think it's mostly one of a kind.
Yeah. There's two other pieces I have to mention, because in this case, they're, again, stretching the notion of the book, much like the corset piece, and that is the Red Shoe Reader.
That's a favorite.
And Susie Part 3, which, from what I can see, is looks like a set of opera gloves that have been turned into sort of a binding, and then it's hinged. And when you, it almost looks like there's a fan in there.
It almost looks like that. And then there's a tiny, tiny, tiny accordion book in the center. And that's by Miriam Schreier. Uh-huh. She teaches book arts at Columbia College in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, it's like repurposing found objects, you know, like the opera gloves or mm-hmm. like the
Red Stiletto.
Red Stiletto, which, again, is using something. And, you know, this is an everyday commonplace object. You don't even think about it being turned into fine art. And the Animal Crackers book, you know, we'd already talked about the Animal Crackers box. And, you know, again, you're repurposing these things. Other people repurpose type, trinkets, compasses, you know, to make these little enclosures in the box that the books are contained in.
I have to mention the Red Shoe Reader, because the story of it is actually really quite good. And it, for those who have not yet to see this, this is a red stiletto pump that's cut in half. Think of the heel portion as the beginning of the book and the toe as the end of the book. And in the middle, she has these incredible stories telling the story of foot binding in China, all these quotes about feet. There's a little area about how the foot is the most common fetish, and it gets into, you know, the sexual issues. And it's all these stories about feet and foot. And, of course, it's bound by the stiletto.
And whenever you close it up, it looks like the shoe is almost like bookends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's a funny thing, because the shoe itself, you wouldn't think it would be substantial enough to you know, hold anything together. But the interesting thing about that is that she chose a shoe that you know, women love to hate. They're beautiful, and women love their high heels, but wearing them feels like you've decided to torture yourself for however many hours you have to be in them.
Right.
A lot of us that aren't used to wearing heels will often feel like, you know, I probably look really great as long as I don't move. but it's an interesting choice, because, again, that goes back to the notion of how we view ourselves and what the idea of beauty is. You know, are we doing this to attract the opposite sex? Are we doing these things to ourselves to attract or to impress the members of our own sex? You know, it's really interesting how we go through these things and wear these objects and do these things to ourselves to capture this idea of beauty and whatever that means.
And there are some pretty large pieces, too. I'm thinking of one of the very first pieces. It's called Cloven, which is this huge set of prints. It looks like a mountain landscape.
It's a series of books, and they're 5 bound books by Nicole Pietrantoni. Nicole is a printmaker and installation artist that teaches at Whitman College in Washington. She's very young and very inventive in how she approaches the book form. A lot of hers unfold in such a way that they create panoramas, whether they're viewed on the wall or on the floor. So that actually is a mountain panorama. It's just that it's on its side.
Right.
And again, they fold up into these, you know, normal size, small books that fit into a slipcase. You would never realize that this huge image of, you know, this huge aspect of the world folds up into this small container.
And what's really cool is it becomes almost like a stratum of this mountain view, you know, with the peaks at the top, you know, the sort of the aspen level in the middle, and, you know, the lake in the bottom. Yeah, it's very cool.
And then it spills out into the viewer's space itself, and it overwhelms you, much like a landscape of that nature overwhelms you when you are experiencing it in person.
Yeah. The Art of the Book is on display at the Zero Center through, I believe it's June 28th.
That is correct.
All right. Michelle and Melissa, it's been a pleasure. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
Melissa Burkhart is a book art artist. Michelle Martin is a printmaker, a professor of art at the University of Tulsa, and curator of the exhibit, The Art of the Book, which is currently on display at the Zero Center downtown in the Brady District through June 28th. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.